Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. 25 games, yes! 25 games unbeaten. How good does that sound? A new club record, and we are here for it. I am your host, John McInally, a little bit hoarse after last night. And as ever, I'm joined by the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Vitality, the Ginger God of Pod. Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, I've been the same all day, mate. My throat is still sore from last night. It was a special night, actually, and I know we've said this often, but we need to enjoy ourselves just now, don't we? I know it's legal. We know we should be doing this anyway, but it's a phenomenal run that we're on.
Well, I mean, I think I was okay. I didn't do much shouting last night, but I do think it was when the third goal went in, I just thought, because I think like every Falkirk supporter, you see the little writing on the wall, you know, all the fate, you know, former striker who was released by us, top scorer in all the divisions, scored 8 goals in consecutive games, Paul Hartley, ex-manager who we all hate, the kind of write it just felt like this could be, you know, the end of the kind of fairy tale start. But how wrong were we, by the way? But I sat on my hands. I thought, I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to tempt fate further. And it wasn't until the third goal went on, then I unleashed fury upon Mr. Hartley. And I was just biding my time. And then I thought, nah, I'm not letting him get away with this. So that's why I shouted at the top of my voice some expletives at Mr. Hartley.
As soon as the first one went in, that was my cue. Have a go at him. As you said, you don't want to go too early just in case, because he would have absolutely loved to have scored a meaningful goal last night. He probably wouldn't have celebrated much if it was 4-1. But if they'd scored first or got an equaliser or something like that, he would have been all over it. So, and let's not forget, as much as we all hate Paul Hartley, his wee shite of an assistant was a dick as well. What was his name? Was it Gordon Young or George Young or something like that? He was a wee shite back in the day, and he's been mouthy ever since as well. So let's not forget Mr. Young.
Yeah, I wanted to put a special shout out to Paul Hartley's son, Regan Hartley, as well, who generally, after we got relegated, and I said something about Hartley on Twitter, tracked me down and basically started giving me abuse on Twitter. So up you too, wee man.
Maybe we should get all of our viewers and listeners to tweet Mr. Hartley.
No. let's talk. I mean, it's a winter break just now, so obviously Sky Sports and BBC Sports and all the likes and the SPFL have nothing to talk about. So let's put a focus on the lower leagues. And obviously we're quite a big story at the moment because of that unbeaten run. So we were media darlings yet again, Ross. And if you could check it out, Sky Sports put up a bit about Falkirk. It was a really good bit, to be fair. I mean, we were away in it for, if you blinking, you would have missed us at start doing a wee bit from the wheat sheaf, just talking about the run. But it was good, and it was a great wee package and a great insight into the club. A shout out to as well to Sam Wardrobe, who's been working on behalf of the kind of SFA and the kind of No Rest for the Wicked campaign, trying to encourage people into lower league games while the Premiership's off. Really good bit with him doing a kind of training session. I think he knows. So Sam Wardrobe, the story behind him, I didn't know much about him, but he was an ex-footballer, and his kind of shtick on YouTube is try to get back into the professional game because he was released.
Right. So I recognise the name, certainly. Yeah. Might have come up against him at some point.
I think he might have come up through Celtic with Aidan Nesbitt.
Right, I think,
and that's how the piece is obviously led with him kind of following Aidan Nesbitt, a day in the life of Aidan Nesbitt. And then there was a whole bit behind the scenes, which he put out yesterday. God bless Sam. His interview technique was about, what's your name? How long have you been at the club? What's the favourite bit about working for the club? Hi, what's your name? I'll tell you what, it was good to see some of the backroom staff getting the light shone on them, though. So that was cracking. Yeah.
You're right, John. I saw that yesterday as well. I thought it was a good piece. The one that stuck out was obviously Keith Hogg, who I believe is retiring at the end of the season.
Keith looks like the man that doesn't suffer fools gladly. Do you know what I mean? He was like, the boy walked in and Keith just looked like, what the hell?
He couldn't have been less of a shit that he'd walked in as well. Did he not say, how long you worked here? Too long.
There you go. So it was a nice wee bit, and good to see some of the boys behind the scenes getting the light shone on them for all the work that the guys put in behind the scenes. So that was great. Can I just make, before we thank our, as usual, Haldane Construction, can I just have a bit of a rant here, Ross, right? And this is going to sound like such a main stand rant, right? And I don't mean it to be, like, I'm obviously a bit older now, but can I just talk about the paths leading up to the stadium? Someone's going to die on those paths. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Thousands of people, right? And I don't know if it's Falkirk Council. I'm guessing it is Falkirk Council. All the footpaths closed on that roundabout means you have to walk on the road, right? See if you come from the college end. There's no path yet. There's a big... They've put the fence beyond the path, yet nothing seems to be happening on the path, yet thousands of people are traipsing towards the ground. I mean, in the dark, see, it's a recipe for disaster, Ross. And it is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. You can't get into the ground via a path.
It is a bit bonkers around the stadium now, because obviously they're doing this.
Surely, for fuck's sake, and I apologise for swearing because I always get told off for it, but Falkirk Council have got to look at that and go, what? I mean, there's no path when thousands of people are heading towards the stadium.
Listen, you're right. The temporary arrangement's a bit bonkers as well, because apparently the only safe way
is through the helix.
It's through the helix. Or I think if you were to go into the bog, you can then cross. They've put a path in, like across the grass at the, you know where the chip is, at the end of the bog. Apparently there's a path there that goes alongside the fire station. However, it's not a well signposted path or anything.
Something needs to be done. I'll be writing a letter to my local councillor to get something needs to be done. So let's all, by the way, I'm going to be all over social media on this, because listen, if someone gets hurt or injured or, God forbid, killed on that bit of road when this is happening, it's all on you, Falkirk Council. So there we go. Rant over. Thank you very much. Right. Thank you to Haldane Construction. They're our wonderful sponsors. They have been all season. Pete and the team, legends that they are, doing loads for the club. You'll see their big logo at the end of the North Stand. Obviously, the sponsor, Russell Lappe, in that stand as well. They deal with the local community when it comes to construction. If you are looking to get something done, all you need to do is get in touch with Peter and the team. They'll sort out your job. Looking for a wee extension? Speak to Peter. Looking for a swimming pool? Speak to Peter. They have the skills, professional approach to everything they undertake when it comes to the construction project. So get in touch with them. Winning all sorts of awards, Master Builders Awards coming out their ears, they have, and quality and loyalty is the heart of the business. So get them, haldaneconstruction.co.uk, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, you'll get them there as well. And you can email Peter and the team, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Hey, Ross, Denon Lewis has been back in touch again.
Has he been back in touch, has he?
He has. The bold Denon Lewis has been back in touch. We spoke about, he got in touch last week, you know, talking about his, you know, wishes a happy new year and all that sort of stuff, looking to put a reunion between him and all his former Paul Hartley reject. So he's been back in touch. He says, hi guys, thank you so much for mentioning that I now play for the High Flying Woking in the National League. We're currently 20th. Your comments have caused a flurry of interest and a rush of talent scouts from Scottish League One clubs to come and watch me. It is my dream to ply my trade in Scotland once again and show the talents that I know the sweaty socks have been missing. I would love it. Love it. If Hamilton came in for me and gave me the opportunity to ram it right up Falkirk, who so cruelly let me go just as I was about to hit top form. I know that the only two Aki's broadcasters watched the live stream of yesterday's 3-0 defeat against Solihull Moors and are creaming themselves at the thought of me and Kevin O'Hara together up top. Unfortunately, I was on the bench against Solihull Moors yesterday, hence the 3-0 defeat. So the scouts from Scotland were unjustly denied the chance to see my play from the full 90. If only new manager Fatty Sarrell had started me, we'd surely have beaten Solihull 4-3. I'd be on my way to sign for Aki's as I type. Please, 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 Aki's, come and get me. Take me away from my subs bench hell at Woking. To paraphrase the immortal words of Paul Weller in Sounds from the Street, I know I play for Woking and you say I'm a fraud, but my heart is with the Aki's where it belongs. Up your hell rat, Denon Lewis.
Wow. There are no ones to follow that, John. We should maybe just end
this one. It's the transfer window is wide open. Who knows? Denon Lewis could make a triumphant return to Scotland. But that wasn't Denon. We're here for you, brother. We're here for you. You know, you Falkirk legend. We will get your name out there and we will get you a club. So thanks for getting in touch as ever, Denon. Really, really appreciate it. Let's get to the club news. Couple of boys that we've had out on loan, staying out on loan. Logan Sinclair, Reese Walker, they're going to continue. They're obviously modern apprenticeships at the club. They're going to stay at Tynecastle FC and Camelon Juniors. Reese Walker seems to be tearing it up at Camelon Juniors. A few people, Camelon boys, are really thinking he's doing a brilliant job there.
Yeah, no, that's he seems to be the one that's getting a lot of the headlines from the boys on loan, isn't he? And yeah, it probably helps that he's playing really, really local as well.
Yeah, I would suspect a few Falkirk bands have been on to the game.
I think so. Yeah, I've seen that on social media as well, actually. Gordon Hall, who's used to be was a guest pundit last season, he goes along quite regularly. So yeah, there'll be Bairns fans that will be going along to see him. I think it's a good shout, and obviously same way Scott Honeyman at the Shire, I'm sure there'll be Bairns fans who'll watch him go along and watch him if the Shire are playing when Falkirk aren't. So it's a good opportunity for these guys, and they're not going to get a game. Let's face it, in the current squad, they're not going to get on the bench even. So it's for them to be playing proper football just now.
But it's good to see, obviously, we have that youngsters coming through now who you know, we can develop and hopefully come into the fold in the next couple of seasons as well. So, like you say, though, it's probably the best way for him. Because, I mean, you looked at the bench last night. Ola's not even, it's not been in the last two squads. Do you know what I mean? So, there's no space on the bench, especially, you know, bringing in Shanley.
No, exactly. And as John McGlynn says all the time as well, he can only play five of the subs, and there's boys disappointed there. We noticed it last night. Jordan Allen looked particularly...
We'll get to that, actually. That's very interesting. Junior Bairns, it was last Tuesday, just at the end of the holidays there, 130 Junior Bairns at the stadium. Great to see that sort of stuff. You know, obviously the players involved doing player-led drills and stuff. I mean, what a buzz, for if you're a wee guy and you get to go up to the stadium and get a kick ball about with... do you have any memories of anything, doing anything like that at Junior Bairns? I was never a member.
No. Yeah, no, loads, mate. We used to be Junior Bairns days, just like Sarah does, Sarah and the rest of our team do now at the stadium. It used to be on the AstroTurf at Brottville. And it was fantastic.
Concrete, when every time you hit a ball, it was bouncing miles up in the air. Sand. I remember doing a slide tack up. It was a stupid idea at the time. Just horrendous.
The changing rooms were something out of like a North Korean... prison camp or something, but it was amazing. Like, as you said, it doesn't really matter whether Callum Morrison's better than Crunchy, isn't as good as Crunchy, or Joe Bloggs is as good as Simon Stainwood. See when you're a young person, a young boy, a young girl, these are your heroes. And do you know what I mean? And it's absolutely amazing. But yeah, I remember it well. You'd be on the AstroTurf at Brottville having, like, beat the goalie into Gordon Marshall and Tony Parks and Westy and stuff like that. And then you get a wee tour of Brottville as well. You'd be out, get at the gate, getting your picture taken and what have you. So, some really nice memories there. And as you said, 130 kids. And it looked like from the pictures, the players were having an absolute blast with them as well.
Yeah. It's great to see the players engaging with the community like that. And I mean, it obviously helps the fact that we're on this run that we are and we're winning games and we're top of the league. All that, you know, it's a different story when none of that's happening, you know what I mean? But it's great to see the players out doing their bit as well. So that's great to see. Shout out, we came to at via Ali, who Ross's best pal because she works in hospitality. Up in the Falkirk lounges. So Ross knows her really, really well. But she's just said there's still time to be a part of Ladies' Day, which is happening against TNS on the 3rd of February. It's going to be good if you fancy it. There's going to be player visits. There's going to be an extended opening. There's going to be a two-course meal. Dave Mack, stadium announcer extraordinaire, is going to be DJing as well. You get prime seating. So there is still tickets available for Ladies' Day, and that's happening against TNS on the 3rd of February. I think it's 5:30 kickoff, Ross, is that right?
I think it's like a 28 or something like that.
Is that
the weird one? Yeah, I think... from memory, when I saw the Ladies' Day advertised, I think they're doing obviously an awful lot of the hospitality prior to the game, just as you normally would. And then after it, I think she's mentioned Dave Mack there, so they're probably having like a party night or something after it.
All you need to just send Tam Lang up and, you know, you'll have a room. Just say, Tam Lang will be there. Easy. That's easy. I'll be like that guy for, what's Little Britain? I'm a lady! Going up in the ladies.
Listen, I think you should just take your chance. The club won't want to risk some sort of discrimination thing. Just say you're going.
Hello, I'm a lady. I would like to come along, please. Where's Tam Lang? Right, so I am on the last podcast, so tickets available, that get them on the website, you'll find out more there about the ladies night at stadium. Are we still, we were talking about doing our Falkirk pub crawl that day as well, weren't we?
Well, it's one of the boys' birthdays, so I think that could well be the plan. So I think that should be the order of the day, because obviously we'll double mark the birthday with a piss up. So let's do the Falkirk pub crawl that day.
Well, details still to be had. We'll have the Falkirk Daft pub crawl potentially that day. We'll let you know.
We get a t-shirt then if we complete it then. Is that the deal?
I believe there is a deal. It's the Falkirk pub tray or something, and you've got to do so many pubs and you get a wee card and you get a t-shirt at the end. Right. So that is the goal.
Right. We'll see how many people we can like get along the way.
Exactly, bring stragglers out. And of course I'll be dressed as a lady as well for to go into.
You need to do it now. You need to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Right, anyway, on last podcast we're asking, because the Bonnie Rigg Scottish Cup tie is coming up, we're asking how do you get Bob Bonnie Rigg, because we had no idea. Rab Fleming, who is all over the transport situation when it comes to away games, got in touch, says, right, this is what you do, boys. To get the bus to Bonnie Rigg, there's 4 an hour from bus stop PJ in Princes Street, which is opposite the Scott Monument. So get off at Waverley, jump across the road to bus stop PJ on Princes Street. The number 31 leaves at 12 minutes, 27 minutes, 42 minutes and 57 minutes past each hour. And the journey time to Bonnie Rigg is 44 minutes. You'll be able to get there. If you say get on the 12:57 bus, you'll be in Bonnie Rigg for about 1:41, a few beers, and it's £2 each way. So there you go. That's one option to get Bonnie Rigg if you're thinking about it. The other option came via Andy, who we've talked about, who drums for Parley Ammo, who Ross met in the bar last night. His dad says, right, get 20 minutes on a train from Waverley to S Bank. So if you get off at Waverley, go to S Bank, then apparently it's a 25-minute walk to the ground from S Bank.
That latter one, that's... a Bonnie Rigg fan that I know, he got in touch to say that the train from Waverley to S Bank is definitely the quicker route to go, and it's not that much more expensive. I think Bobby had said, what was it, £2 each way for a bus for Princes Street, but it's so I'm sure it was like a fiver return on the train to S Bank from Waverley, so it's not too bad.
So if you're not getting a supporters bus or taking the car, there's a couple of options for you for the Bonnie Rigg goes in a game in a couple of weeks' time. Transfer speculation at Benny T's, does nothing, is there? Does nothing.
not really, not a lot kicking about just now. But there, as you just said, there's a couple of boys not getting much game time. So,
do you think there might be potential loan outs for Jordan Allen and Olawau?
If it was me, Ola, yes, but I wouldn't be loaning out Jordan Allen, and I'll tell you why. I think we've got the basis of a really tight squad. The boys are all in it together. If you muck about with a squad too much at this time of year, it could have a detriment. I'm not saying it will have a detriment, but it could have a detriment. I think Jordan's quite a popular guy in the dressing room as well. He's got something about him. I know it's maybe just our bias about him, but I would like him to see him get a goal or two. Obviously, that means him getting on the pitch, which is struggling to do just now.
Yeah, I think there's a whole conversation to be had about this when we get into the Cove game, because I agree, Ross. I mean, I thought we can't say anything against John McGunn because he's done the game, but I just felt so sorry for Jordan last night. We saw the reaction. I don't know if you... But anyone else, you know, we saw the reaction when he came past the dugout. When Shanley went on, he basically put down his bib and then walked into the dressing room, because, you know, he wasn't coming on. I didn't see him at the end of the game.
He did come back out.
Did he come back out? Yeah.
Listen, he may well have just went in.
I'd be raging. You'd be raging in any line of work, whatever you do, and someone new comes into the department, and your boss picks them to go on away a work trip or something. You've been there for. And doing your trade, you'd be absolutely raging, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course you would. But I don't know. I don't, unless we have to get people out this month, which I don't think we do, then I don't know if I'd make too many changes on the outdoor, unless he can get someone who will come in and be an impact player for his wages. But I don't know.
You're right. I mean, Ola is a different one, I think, just in terms of his age and stuff. It might, it's Ola deal. Have we got Ola just to the end of the season, though?
I think so. I mean,
is there any sense in sending out Ola if we're not going to look at him beyond the end of this season?
Maybe not. It's maybe just one that he kicks about and waits for his turn if he gets an opportunity. But at the current grasp of things, it's understandable that he's not getting on the bench, and I don't, even if he was on the bench, I don't think he'd be one of the players coming on.
No, I mean, you look at the options from the bench, you're probably right. I mean, you saw Oliver, he's come off the bench a couple of times and scored.
He's scored a couple of goals in the last few weeks, hasn't he? So
yeah, and I just look at Ethan Ross, Agyeman, McGinn's going to be on the bench. You know, you need Sean Mackey there for cover defensively. You're right. So I feel sorry for Ola, because I always think he makes an impact when he comes off the bench and with his running, and he's a bit of an enigma as well. And he scored, you know, a couple of goals this season as well. So
I think it's probably either him or Agyeman, though, and Agyeman's got a bit
talking
more
of Mavericks, Jesus God.
He's got a bit more physicality as well, doesn't he? Yeah. Whereas Ola seems to be kind of bounced about.
It'll be interesting to see if anything happens in terms of coming in, but I don't think we're spotting anyone at Benny T's, are we?
No, not. I'm not convinced there'll be much movement at all this month.
I don't see where you need to strengthen. The only thing, obviously, we picked up a few injuries last night. John McGuinn sort of said after the match, obviously Cole took a knock, Tam took a knock, Ross McKeever's probably the more worrying one with a hamstring. But like you say, I mean, that maybe there's an opportunity there for Jordan Allen then, if Ross McKeever has picked up an injury, you know, even coming off the bench, if he fancies Ryan Shanley ahead of Jordan, there is maybe an opportunity there. We'll wait and see come Edinburgh on Saturday where that situation is. Like, listen, let's talk about, before we'll get into the Cove game in complete detail, but it's one of those ones where the Queen of the South game just seems like an eternity ago, but let's talk about that just between the two of us just now. Falkirk 1, Queen of the South 0. Aidan Nesbitt with the goal just after the stroke of half time within the first 30 seconds. The big kind of chat round stadium and in concourses was that Long was in for Hogarth despite Nicky keeping two clean sheets.
Yeah, I think we were all shocked when we saw that. And it's not anything against Sam Long, because I think he's a real good keeper. But as you said, Nicky Hogarth's had two clean sheets. He's our keeper, not on loan, and he hadn't really done too much wrong. Obviously, he was asked, wasn't he? John McGlynn was asked in the post-match video about it, and he just said it was to try and kind of keep both keepers interested. The only thing to that is we don't really do that with any other position. So it's an interesting reason.
I wonder if there is a deal with Lincoln that we have to play him in a certain amount of games.
My limited knowledge of these things, and it is very limited because I'm not like a football contract specialist, as we know. I'm not sure if it's he has to play so many games, but what you tend to find with these deals is that you pay less of a percentage of the wage if they play so many games, which I suppose amounts to the same thing. But maybe it's that. I don't know, John.
It was a strange one, though. Like you say, when someone's kept two clean sheets, I mean, I don't think the goalkeepers have had a save to make. I was working this... In the last couple of games, I don't think Sam Long's actually had anything to do.
No shots on the target at all the last two games. So he may as well have not been there. But we're delighted he is because he's a decent keeper as well as Sam Long. I don't know who I prefer, to be honest. I think I probably prefer Nicky from a shot stopping perspective. But then Sam Long's distribution is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
So.
It's hard to choose, but I'm going to go Nicky actually, just because I think he's a bit more dominating in his box. Yeah. And
we're very lucky that we've got two.
And he's a local boy as well, so.
Yes, we're really lucky we've got two competent keepers there, John, because you could have an experienced keeper and a really young, inexperienced keeper. Now, you could argue that Sam Long's an inexperienced keeper, but he just seems to have something about him. And Nicky's definitely got something about him. So, yeah, we should be quite fortunate.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it was unchanged aside from that. I mean, Queen of the South clearly came with a game plan. And Matt, they came in with a low block. It was very similar to the first game at the stadium, the 1-0 Brad Spencer game. They came in and did the exact same job. And it was worrying, I think. You know, I think we all kind of had the same worries that we saw where the problem was in that game. We saw where the problem was in this game was we're getting balls into the box and Effie Ambrose was eating them for dinner.
He was. And I was getting quite frustrated because we were just trying the same thing all the time. Now, we eventually did break them down and it was a cross into the box that McKeever's done well to put Effie Ambrose off. And that was maybe something they talked about at halftime, John. That McKeever's got to get in front of Ambrose to stop him heading these balls out. Now, if that was a discussion point at halftime, it worked because McKeever put Ambrose massively off for that cross ball into the box, which then allowed it to fall to Nesbitt. Whatever the discussion was at halftime, it definitely worked.
I know, and shout out to Calvin Miller, that bit of trickery on the left and the ball into McKeever, which he's able to get, and Nesbitt with a great finish on the half volley. It was a great goal. I mean, I thought Nesbitt actually at the game on Saturday was outstanding, well deserved of his Man of the Match award. You know, there's a lot, you know, me and Cody probably, there's been quite a few criticisms of Aidan Nesbitt, but obviously you then saw it against Cove, they put a man mark on Aidan Nesbitt to stop us. I mean, he is all over that place. He's an absolute Duracell bunny, that boy. Like, his numbers... I mean, I guess John McGlynn will see the numbers that he puts in because he is absolutely, just all over the place. And on Saturday, I thought he was outstanding, well worth his go as well.
Oh, yeah. No, he was, as you said, John, he was all over the place. Brilliant finish with the turn and shot. And, yeah, you could tell he enjoyed it as well. He's definitely one of the first names in the team sheet just now. Undroppable, as you say.
Yeah. Queen of South, fair enough. I mean, they didn't offer anything going forward. When you look at the stats, I mean, it was one shot to 15 to us. I mean, worrying, we only had three shots on target, right enough. But apparently they had 56% possession of the ball.
I'm not sure about that. We seem to have an awful lot of the ball on Saturday, but I don't know how they deal with these things, the stats guys at the BBC or Opta or whoever it is. But yeah, that was a weird stat to see.
Yeah, well, I don't think a loss against Falkirk counts because Marvin Bartley, who I work with on Super Scoreboard in Clyde One, he doesn't turn up when Queen of the South get beat, but he has turned up for work this week. So, you know, a 1-0 defeat doesn't count against Falkirk, apparently.
It doesn't count. Oh, right.
No,
okay.
No, that's what I said. I said that. I was like, does a 1-0 defeat not count against Falkirk? You know? Queen of Scythe won't be, I think he said in his post-match, Queen of Scythe won't be measured against games against Falkirk. So there we go. That's how far we've come. Hendel always gets himself in the box. There was a good few. He needs to get more goals. See the amount of times he finds himself in the box with headers. Big Hendel needs to get, I mean, obviously saw one against Cove. But he needs to be getting more goals. He finds himself in. I found that against Queen of South as well. There was a lot of chances for Hendel. They're more half chances and stuff, but Hendel could definitely be getting more goals, I reckon.
No, I think so too. He's mostly the tallest boy in the box, and he does get his head on. He's actually very good at getting headers also at the back post, like almost like putting it back across goal. So it's maybe just following up on some of these headers that he's winning as well. Not him personally, but in terms of the rest of the team kind of following up with the headers that he's getting. But he's got a shot on him as well, John, as we've seen before. So, yeah, he's probably, I don't know how many he's on for the season, maybe three, four goals, maybe. He's definitely got it in him to get another five or six between now and the end of the season with the amount of chances that he'll have.
I mean, to be fair, Pirlo didn't have to score a lot of goals either. Do you know what I mean? If he's doing Pirlo-esque things in midfield, he's all good there. Donaldson loves to shoot, you know, like you saw against Cove and Queen of the South as well. Just, I love Big Cole when he said, everything is just the shout of shoot, because he's scored a couple of bellers this season already. And there's ones, we'll talk about the Cove game, but he brought a save at the goalkeeper, and it was the same against Queen of South. One just went past the post as well. But the other chance we've got to talk about is the Miller chance. What a save from their goalkeeper, Harry Stone. Oh, God, that should have been in the back of the net. Eh?
Yeah, phenomenal save from the lad, to be fair. Miller was outstanding again on Saturday. He's my favourite player just now, I think.
Oh, you got a wee crush on Calvin Miller?
Yeah, I do. I think he just looks dangerous every time he gets the ball. And I know I said this in the last podcast, but I feel just now, and granted, Morrison's just scored 2 goals, but for me, he's the more consistent of the two wingers in terms of he's getting balls into the box, in terms of beating men. Listen, you can't argue with some of the stats that Morrison produces in terms of goals and stuff. So, but yeah, in terms of actual beating men and kind of taking the ball for a run and getting the ball in, Miller's definitely hot for that now.
Somebody told me last night he has 7 wains.
Calvin Miller's got 7 kids.
Apparently so. That might just be an urban myth.
What age is he?
It's like 25 or 26 or whatever.
Maybe not got a TV, John. That's
very potent, that's what I would say. Yeah. He's got 7 wains of that age.
Yeah.
But I might just be starting a rumor here, but somebody told me last night they had 7 wains.
From a good source that they told you.
Well, so we'll wait and see. But maybe just someone made that up. And my favourite bit of the match is when obviously we're trying to keep the ball. And that, in fairness to Queen's Side, that shows how well they did against us, keeping the ball in the corner at the end. And then Kyle McQuillan trying to backheel it and falling on his arse was tremendous.
That was nice. That was almost the biggest cheer of the day.
It was brilliant. Because that was the day we filmed the Sky Sports bit. So we were out in the Wheatsheaf from 12, and we were filming the bit in the Wheatsheaf. And then I went back, my big pal Andy, who's a magician, go and check his band out, Miracle Glass Company. I'm always giving musical tips, but Miracle Glass Company, Andy's a boy for Falkirk. He hadn't been at a Falkirk game in ages, so I said, I was meant to be meeting for a couple of drinks. I said, why didn't you come to the game? He said, aye, why not? Came on to the game, and we end up back in the Wheatsheaf. Richard Lindsay, who you also see in the Sky Sport video, end up back there with him, my brother, Big Keith, and we end up in the toll booth doing karaoke yet again. I don't know why. Oh, I did little respect. But do you want to know a karaoke hack, which we learned on Saturday? See, if you like to do a karaoke song, right? You know the old Ross McKeever tequila song?
Yeah.
Do that on karaoke, it only has 3 words. Grid did it. So we did that in the Tollbooth karaoke on Saturday night, and everyone's just like, what the hell? And obviously we did tequila for the first two and then finished off the last one with McKeever. There we go.
I know we're going to, obviously we'll come on to Cove shortly, but that him getting serenaded off as a substitute last night to the McKeever song was fantastic.
It was good. So there it was, Queen of the South, 24 undefeated, club record in the bag. Go on to better that against Cove. But it's just a couple of comments before we get into the Cove game. Graham says, Queen of the South made it difficult, never strayed from the shell for the whole game. Awful to watch, but we broke them down and it was a straightforward win as we were coming to expect. McKeever and Spencer do an awful lot of work that often goes unnoticed. They are super players, according to Graham.
Indeed they are. Homer's twin, I thought Miller's skill in winning, controlling the ball and bringing it forward for Nizzy's goal was superb. Best player in the division and is easily Premier League quality. Very professional performance against probably the best defence I've seen at our place.
There you go. Martin says, after a nervous start, we came into the game and were really positive in attack. I feel on another day we could have won by 3 or 4. Queen of the South brought nothing to the game other than us to stop us scoring. Best team won. On the Bairns.
Indeed. Craig says, we were too slow in the build-up in the first half and allowed them too much time to get back into shape when we had opportunities to break. It's hard when a team plays 5 across the back as they did. Thankfully, we found the breakthrough and we got the job done.
Yeah, and KNZIMA, Kinsley, we were absolutely dominant, total professional performance. However, Ambrose was running everything at the back. Could have been a lot more if it wasn't for him. Buzzing regardless. Honestly, what a team. There you go. Mm-hmm. So that's a brief look at the Queen of the South game. Let's get into the Cove game now, will we? And it is, for the first time on Falkirk Daft, a mother-son combination who are our guest pundits this week. It is the Gilchrists themselves. It's Andy and Pamela.
How are we?
All right, gents, how are we?
Very good. Now, you might have just noticed something's just happened there. The magic of podcasting. I've transported myself from my bedroom in Falkirk to a radio studio in Glasgow. How is that for magic? We're recording, like I'd say, it's a bit like Pulp Fiction today. At different parts of the daytime. We're all over the place, all over the ether. Welcome to the show, guys. Great to have you on. And a mother-son double act. Pamela, was it you that got Andy to start supporting Falkirk?
Yeah, I've supported Falkirk since I was 6. My first game was Stennis Muir against Falkirk, 1979-80 season. Wow. And I've went ever since. Andrew's went a couple of times, didn't he, when you were
quite young, aren't I?
And then kind of went away and then came back. So, and then he got me back into going to away games again. So,
well, that's a really nice story. What made you go along to the Falkirk games, Palmer?
I used to go with my dad. To Brockville. And as I say, the first season I went, didn't remember anything about the game particularly. And then by the time I was 8, we were going regularly to the home games. And then by the following season, it was home and away. We were away every week and it just went from there. Just stopped going.
Fantastic.
And it was you followed in your mum's footsteps, Andy?
That's pretty much it. More people maybe follow their dad's team, but my dad's not into it, but she's football daft, eh? So...
Falkirk Daft, as it is.
Falkirk Daft, as it is, eh? You come down the stairs and she's watching Forest Green Newport, like she just loves football, eh?
love it, Pamela. So you followed in your mum's footsteps into the football. So I'm going to ask you the question we ask all our guest pundits on Falkirk Daft, and I think there's going to be two different answers for this. So out with the Holy Trinity, as we know them, that is Simon Stainrod, Russell Latapy, and Kevin McAllister, just get pulled up, in case I get pulled up like I did last time. Pama, who's your favourite player?
I would have to say it would be between Crawford Baptiste, because he was just the man.
And he was a very handsome fella as well, Pama.
Play anywhere, do anything, just the very job that he was asked to do. And you hear a lot of, especially now, because you're playing against part-time teams, saying, oh, we should be running away with this because they're part-time and we're fitter because we're full-time. And he just proves that that's not the case. So between him and Sammy McGivern, because again, you just get 100% effort.
Now, Andy, you were at the Fortress Brockville night a few weeks ago with the Ultras. Did you get a picture of a big Croft and show your mum?
Did indeed. That's the exact reason I got a picture. I had asked for a picture for my mum, and then so I'm standing next to the big man, and then everybody else started getting the picture. So it started off just me and him, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it became a massive group picture. So
brilliant. So what about you, Andy?
I've been racking my brain, to be fair. I was trying to think of who it could be, but the theme that kept coming back was Tom Tyrrell. The work effort, the passion, played for the jersey. The way he was treated was shocking, but what a player. I was stuck between him and like the era that we brought through, like Darren Barr, Tam Scobie, Scott Arfield. Mm. First kind of seasons I remember as well, but I think it's got to be Tom Tyrrell for me.
Loved the tackle,
hard as fuck.
Tommy Tackle, amazing, absolutely amazing, brilliant. Well, you were both at the game last night, and what a shame it was for Mr. Paul Hartley to return to the stadium and be pumped 4-0. Goals from Liam Henson, two from Cal Morrison, and a goal for Gary Oliver as well. Unchanged from Saturday, Ross, no surprises there?
Not at all. No, I think the way the team played on Saturday, it would have been a shock for him to have left anyone out. Obviously, there was the change of goalkeeper, just as we talked about with the Queen of the South game, but Sam didn't have much to do against Queen of the South, and as it turned out, he had fuck all to do last night as well.
I mean, that's two games with no shots on goal for the opposition, which, I mean, that's not happened often, has it?
No, I don't think so.
Tells you who the back four is, though, eh?
Well, that's it. That's exactly it. I mean, for you guys, we talked earlier on who our preference in goalkeeper was. Who, for you, is it Pamela? Who Gerard seen the sticks, Nicky or Sam?
I didn't think I've got a preference between the two of them, actually. I quite like Sam Long, actually. Nicky's got that wee bit of kind of feel about him sometimes, but... he certainly no done anything wrong to be dropped, and obviously John McGlynn's explained that that's what they're going to do. They're going to rotate them, but quite happy with both of them, really.
What about you, Andy?
I prefer Sam Long, if I'm honest. I think Nicky was unfortunate to be dropped, kind of a couple of claws in the mistake at Hamilton, but two clean sheets in the bounce and you're getting dropped. I'd imagine Lincoln's maybe on the phone and said, "Kenny, he's not up there to sit on the bench." But both good goalies, though.
That's what we were saying earlier on. We wonder if there's maybe so many games he may need to play, or if he doesn't play so many games, do we need to pay more of his wages or something along those lines? But it's a good problem to have, the fact that we've got two pretty competent keepers, though. It's not as if like one's a bomb scare, one's not. They're both very, very competent at shot stopping, at commanding their area. The only thing I added when we're talking about it earlier on is that Nicky's our keeper, so you do want him to be playing, but then Sam Long's got fantastic distribution as well. So it's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm. It always is. I mean, we've talked about it as well. We have got someone in every position at the moment. So, but as you said, Ross, we've not been. You know, John McGuinn explained that, you know, we're giving everyone a shot, but it's only really happened in the goalkeeping department, because everybody else, apart from injuries or suspensions, has pretty much stayed the same. I mean, I don't know about you lot, but I was absolutely bricking it going into this game. I thought, it's all kind of written down, do you know what I mean? We're 24 unbeaten, you know, going for 25. You've got your former manager, who we all very much dislike. I'm talking on everyone's behalf here. I mean, Pamela, you might have fond things to say about Paul Hartley. No, right, okay, moving on then. So it was like, I just thought going into it, right, former manager, Romain Borel, who we obviously, we liked as a player at the club last season, you know, probably unlucky to be let go of in the summer season there. And he's scored 8 goals in consecutive games. I just thought the writing was on the wall. Was I the only one thinking that?
you're marginally worried, but you're just thinking, you know, you want to keep this momentum going, and it might go at some point, and that's okay. But I just didn't want it to be last night.
No, Emma, that's exactly it. You know, it could go and. Eventually it will finish, right? We hope it's a long way down the line once we've won the league and what have you. But I know what you're saying, Pamela. It's like you didn't want it to be last night and against him.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
I know. Well, I mean, what can we say? We've already said there was no shots on goal. They started off relatively brightly though, Ross, I thought.
There was a couple of slack passes from us right at the beginning though, and it kind of let Burrell in especially. But let's face it, he was in Tam Lang back pocket most of the night, wasn't he? But they did. They started fairly bright. They obviously had the first attack of the night. Didn't come to anything, but they had the first attack of the night. But realistically, it was just a one way traffic. After that.
They looked a wee bit nervy the first maybe 15 minutes, and you were looking at them and thinking, just relax, calm down.
That's a good shout, actually. That's a good shout. Maybe it was a little bit nervy.
But after that, it was just, I mean, even at Nahanich, I was quite confident that there was going to be goals coming for that point.
I mean, certainly you see the amount of chances we created in that first half. You know, like Ross said, they had the first chance when Burrell went through. And in fairness to him, I thought he's got to take this on himself. But he saw the boy on the left-hand side, and I was worried at that point when he saw him and squared it. The boys were able to get over, and to be fair, the guy shot miles wide anyway. But there was chances after chances, you know, thinking about... you know, the Chancellor McKeever who put the side foot, it just went wide. Hendo had a touch like a pudding when it came over and he tried to chest it down and then stick it in. But Hendo was on one last night. That first half, he was absolutely everywhere in the box. Pirlo-esque, I'm going to keep referring to him as Pirlo. Balls out to the left, balls out to the right. He was absolutely on one last night. I don't know what possessed him. Maybe he just didn't like Paul Hartley as well.
Is there maybe history there?
I heard that. Somebody had said to me, I don't know how true it is remember when Lee Miller and Mark Kerr got released on Christmas Eve? Oh. I heard that he might have been one of them as well.
Right.
I don't know how true that is, but...
There might be something in it because Willie, Liam's dad... was on social media this morning, and I'm sure he called him a rat as well. So.
Fantastic. absolutely love it. Well, that's, you know, that explains, because I obviously end up getting man of the match, and we'll get to our Falkirk Daft rated a bit later on. But I thought that first half, I just wrote down in my notes, Hendo is on one tonight. So that maybe explains thing. But yeah, it was like chance after chance. Big call striding forward. The shouts from the ultras, Andy's always shoot for call now, isn't
he? He's got it in the locker, isn't he? I've never seen a centre half or a strike like that. Just every time he hits it, it seems to be so clean. And you're just, it's similar. Do you remember when Wall Volks would be like 25 yards out and it's always shoot? It's the same kind of feeling.
Yeah,
it is. And I mean, it was just like, McCann hit one from 20 yards that the keeper pushed around the post as well. There's that great ball in from McCann to Cal and he cut inside. That was something that also led to the goal, that combination of McCann switching it over. Whether we saw the problems against Queen of the South of going balls going into the box and what have you, it was finally, you know, we got that great bit of quality. It was a beautiful ball over from McCann and we got the goal that we deserved. Cal Morrison standing there, cuts in on his left foot, and it hit the post. And I don't know what you guys, and I don't know what the view was like from the south stand, Andy, but I thought it was coming out from where I was sitting. I was just like, whoa!
Aye. There was no, like, it's hit the post. The net didn't exactly ripple. So we all just assumed, can it hit the post and it's coming back out, eh?
It was the delayed celebration for that one, but then when we all realised it was in, the place went bananas. It really did.
I was, but I just like that. And then just, I thought, oh, it's in, yes! It was like an absolute delay of a celebration. Big worries for me, though, guys, in that first half was Tam Lang with a head knock. Burrell, you know, scraped his head, and you got the old Terry Butcher makeup on, the big bandage. It looked more like, see, when you went, because we were talking about, it's like when players put bandages on their head, they generally play a lot better as well. But that was, it turned from like a bandage into more of like a turban type, hat type thing that he had on his head rather than like the Rambo-esque hard man bandage, which I was sorely disappointed in. I wanted blood gushing down Tom's face, you know, and the kind of bandage going on, but it didn't quite happen like that.
And then it fell off at one point, didn't it?
Fell off, I know. And then he walked out in half time with the bandage off. But luckily, he was all right. I mean, I don't know about you, Pamela and Andrew, but he is, for me, the one player that would be the biggest loss to the side. That's just me saying that, maybe.
It's Max, him and Spencer, I think. But then you can put Henderson into that category as well, eh?
Yeah.
Just if you take them out, they would work the same. Like, because I noticed we went up to Montrose on the Tuesday night, and I don't think Henderson was there. Henderson didn't play.
Spencer,
we didn't look the same team.
Yeah, you're right, actually. You're right, that night. We were missing something that night, weren't we?
Big Hendo, big Pirlo in the middle of the park. But yeah, I mean, it was a relief, I think, getting that goal just when we did and going into that half-time 1-0, because we were well-deserved of our lead. No one could ever argue that we didn't deserve that with the amount of chances that came in. It was just one of those worrying things, like we're chance after chance after chance, are we going to score? And we got there in the end, which was great. And then we come out the second half, and much like Saturday there, goal pretty much straight away. It was a very strange goal, though. It was like the ball came in, the keeper missed it, and it ended up like just sitting in the box, and everyone's kind of looking at it going, all right. And then Hendo just slide tackles it.
I was really waiting on the referee blowing for a foul, because they just all kind of looked at each other, and it was like, it wasn't a foul, but I'm waiting on it coming. But I mean, it was
the same
player that took him out, eh? So
you've seen refs though at this level just do what the hell they want.
Yeah, and that guy who was reffing the game last night, was, I don't know if you remember, the referee from early on the season against Montrose, who was probably the worst official we've had. It was the same guy last night, and you're just thinking, I saw it, I went, oh no, this guy again. But he was, to be fair, he was okay last night. I think there was a couple of decisions I was like, all right, okay, why is that not a yellow card? Or, no. But he was all right last night. But it was a strange old goal, but big call celebration. Big Kendo celebration. Fantastic. And again, the old captain salute right up to the ultras as well, Andy.
Oh, what a player he is, eh? My pal's raging. That's Saturday and last night. He does the pyre on at half time, and he missed both goals, eh?
That's the one thing you can't see. All the players running up to that section, this, you know, because most of the goals obviously came down that end, but they all make a beeline to that section to celebrate. It's just great to see. Really, really good scene. The noise from the ultras last night was brilliant as well.
It really was. John, this is the point of the podcast where I know you're going to take the piss out of me, because you know I'm going to have to shoot off here, aren't you?
It's okay, Ross. You shoot off. Ross has got to go and pick up his daughter from cheerleading practice because he's too scared to ask his wife to do it. So Ross
That's
is.
That's it's right. The rock. It's the rock and roll world of podcasting, I suppose.
I'm
going to have to shoot, but I'm going to leave you in the comfortable hands of Mr. McNally to review the rest of the game. But cheers for coming on, guys. Honestly,
we'll see you later on in the podcast, Ross. We'll see you later on. Bye. Right, let's continue. Now he's gone. Right, he's too scared to ask his wife to go and pick him.
Magic.
Right, let's. So the goal comes. It's 2-0, and at that point, I'm still holding back. I'm still not wanting to shout at Paul Hartley, because, you know, if he gets a goal back in and it's 2-1, and it's a hard, always say it's a hard lead to defend, but then we get goal number 3. Fantastic stuff. And it was great one-touch stuff as well. Nesbitt feeding Callum Morrison, who goes in for a second, right across the keeper, exactly where he wants it. And then we can start abusing Paul Hartley, everyone, because I thought 3-0 were up the road. Do you think the third goal was important, Pam, or do you think 2-0 would have just got away with it anyway because they were so poor?
I think the third goal is always important because, as you say, there's a wee goal comes 15 minutes before the end and then you're kind of hanging on. But I think by the time you're getting to 3-0, you know that they're not going to get that back.
Yeah, yeah. Andy, you again had a really good view of Morrison's goal. Hit it well.
Aye, he did. And I know I watched it back in the highlights and I think the keeper maybe could have got it, eh? But I think their keeper actually had quite a good game. You know, a lot of good saves in the first half, but...
Yeah, that header one from Tam Lang as well, didn't mention that as well.
I think when they ran the last defender and they hit it, I don't know if it's the goalie got a good view or no, but I think it's one of the ones just melt it as hard as you can. And
it seemed to be that. Went in, yeah, and I had a bit of a hoarse voice this morning after I shouted, a couple of expletives at Mr. Hartley, I'm sure, and there was a couple of songs about him as well. he certainly was. Loved it. And then finishing off with just a really nice... Finn Yeats, I wish we could talk more about Finn Yeats in the show. In fact, both the fullbacks, McCann and Yeats, outstanding. The motors those two boys have got on them are brilliant. And that run from Finn, in the last kind of 10 minutes, driving up the wing, and then it was just, it's young shoulder, a young head and an old shoulders, because he had just that thought, because he saw Gary Oliver peel off, and he just put it inside to him, and then Gary Oliver does what Gary Oliver does, and just really nice hit across the keeper again, and it was just a nice bit of ice in the kettle. But I think Finn, I think we could make a lot of money off this boy, because I think he's going places. And if it's just a shame because I think he's a really good right back, but I think he would just be a brilliant midfielder. His engine's incredible.
He's assist yesterday. The way he was able to, he was bombing forward, and it was good passing. He's obviously got a lot more confidence, but he drew in the defender. I think maybe that was a left back. He drew him right in. And left Gary Oliver with so much space to think about what he wanted to do. Both fullbacks got an assist last night. Just shows you how doesn't matter what wing we're going to do, we're deadly either way.
I know, it was great stuff to see. And then that was it, 4-0. I mean, I think in the second half, apart from we had a couple of chances, but not as many as we had in the first half. It was, and actually, surprisingly, they had more possession than us last night, as did Queen of the South on Saturday, which I found really hard in saying that. It doesn't matter how much possession you get. It's the scoreline at the end of the day that matters, and five goals from two games from those two, considering they are third, fourth, it's a good return for 2 years, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's somebody who had posted on Facebook about the stats of the possession, and obviously the fact that they had kicked off five times, so that counted for some of it.
Well, that is true. That is very true. Couple of knocks across the night. We call, obviously, Tam seems to be okay with the head knock. I actually was very surprised. I thought Romain Burrell might get a wee receipt from Tam Lang for that, but he seemed to be above that, which was quite disappointing. Cole, obviously, at one point he had picked up a knock, and you thought, is he going to continue as well? And because we were at that side, and he was just shouting, "I'm fine!" over to John McGlynn at his side, because I think he was about to get hooked, and big Cole just said, "No, I'm staying on." The one thing, obviously, is slightly worrying is Ross McKeever actually having to come off. It looked like a hamstring injury. We don't know what the situation is there. The other thing to add to that was it wasn't Jordan Allen that was brought on, it was Ryan Shanley that was brought on. What do you think that says? Because I saw Jordan Allen's reaction to it.
I looked raging, eh? As soon as Shanley went to, he got called to, right, you're going on, he turned his bib off, and I never seen it, but somebody said he walked up the tunnel.
He walked up the tunnel. He walked up the tunnel.
And I've seen him at full time when the players are all clapping the fans, and he looked devastated, eh? I actually felt really bad for him. because you think, again, what have I got to do to get a game? But I was quite impressed with that Shanley when he came on right off. It was very, very similar to McKeever, and that's why maybe McGlynn likes him. But I think Jordan Allen, he's getting 5 minutes at the end of the game.
I know.
If he comes on, but he's used to playing as a two.
Yeah.
So playing up front on your own, it's not getting the same service.
Again, we've asked the question on the podcast so many times, is like, why did we buy this guy for money if we aren't going to play him in a system that suits him? I'm going to play in a system which, you know, McGlynn obviously doesn't think he works as that lone striker in the system. I have to say, I feel really, really sorry for Jordan Allen. I think he's well liked by the supporters. I think everyone wants to see him get a chance and get a run in the side, because we bought him for money, and he was scoring against us all the time. I really do feel sorry for Jordan Allen. I know obviously Ryan Shanley's come available, apparently, in all respects from managers and all that, so players think he's a really good player, but you just feel that wee bit of sympathy for Jordan Allen, especially last night, thinking, right, okay, Ross is coming off. Jordan, you know, it's like we were talking about, it's like being at your job and, you know, you suddenly, like, you've been there for years and years and years and the boss arranges a trip away and it's the new guy that gets to go instead of you. Do you know what I mean? It must be a hard one to take for him. I feel sorry for him. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see if he gets a game. He might, you know, if Ross is, fingers crossed, Ross is available for Saturday. But if not, it'll be, a decision for John McGlynn then. Does he go with Jordan Allen? I suspect it'll be Ryan Shanley, considering it's Edinburgh as well, and he's just come from there, and he might know how to play against them. But hopefully, you know, it does give Jordan Allen the chance, if Ross is injured, to come off and prove himself and maybe get goals and put himself in the reckoning and show that he can play that role. Really hope so, because I think everyone wants to see him do well. But we will see what happens come Saturday. Right, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the game.
John, another week, another win, 25 unbeaten. I think everyone was expecting a really tough game tonight, but you must be really, really pleased with that dominant performance.
Yeah, so proud of the players, you're right, dominant performance, very convincing victory. 1-0 at half time. I actually felt we could have been, you know, maybe 2 or 3 ahead at that particular time, but Carl took the goal really, really well, and to get the goal so early at the start of the second half, give us that little bit of cushion, and I think the belief that was in the team just kind of like spread throughout the team. And of course, Callum gets his second goal and the third goal. Really, really good strike. And probably the ice on the cake was the fourth goal. I thought it was a really, really good goal. Finn Yates has done amazing involved in it, bouncing a 1-2 around about the halfway line, you know, driving right at the defence, playing Gary in. Gary's peeled off into the sort of inside right channel there, and a good strike. And yeah, 4-0, you know, big statement, a big statement, because Cove have been going along very, very well. And so, yeah, delighted with the boys, so proud of the effort and, you know, the whole performance from start to finish. We had a little bit of slack moments in the game in the first half, one or two little slack moments that just about let Cove in. But that would have been nitpicking, because there were so many good things in the game and there was good opportunities there. Again, thought the centre-backs were a different class. As I mentioned, Yates here about getting through there and laying it on for Gary. Leon tirelessly getting up and down the park, linking up with Calvin and with Ethan Ross later in the game. And the three in midfield between Hendo and Brad, again, thought they were outstanding. And Nizzy, they just endlessly, as I said the other day there, he just runs and runs and runs and makes things. And it's really, anyone playing against him has got to say, any chance you just slow and doing a wee bit, I'll just stop running because I'm sick chasing after you, trying to get you. And the ability that he's got, big Ross kind of linking the play, and then Ryan coming on. So good to get Stephen on, Gary on, Ryan on, both Alfie and Ethan, you know. So, you know, I'd love to get everyone on, but we're only allowed to put 5 on, you know.
Yeah, Gary Oliver coming on again for his second goal in 3 games, coming off the bench, he's made a real impact.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what you're looking for from guys coming off the bench, you know. They understand that the guys are doing really well, the guys that are starting, and they have to come on and trying to impress and delighted for Gary. He's a great boy, you know, a great boy, absolute different class professional, really good professional as well. And yeah, you know, he's making a statement by coming off the bench and scoring goals, absolutely.
You mentioned the two centre halves as well. I think probably Cole's main threat, obviously Romain Borrell, who scored 20 goals this season. I think Cole Donaldson and Tom Lang dealt with them perfectly.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Paul's changed things tonight. You know, he only went one up top, and I thought the two, Cole and Tom, handled them really, really well. And never got a sniff all night. And I mean, they hardly created an opportunity. So, absolutely, you know, they're normally playing with two, and Romarin has been getting goals. As you say, you know, he has scored 20 goals in all competitions, so you can't really... But tonight, you know, the guy's dealt with him really, really well, you know.
Tonight's win now means that we're 11 points clear. Probably couldn't have asked for a better start to 2024.
Nope. Two games, 6 points, no goals against. What was that then? Five goals. Can't be bad, eh? Four clean sheets in a row. Yeah, yeah, very pleased, very pleased. Not a long way to go, hell of a long way to go. Let's not get carried away. We've got to keep our feet in the ground and not let any sort of complacency kick in. There's a long way to go.
There you go. John McGlynn there, talking about the game. Seems a heavy, happy man, John, these days. He seems a bit happier in his work, doesn't he?
He does, I'm saying it's always easier when you're winning.
It is always easier when you're... It's certainly easier when you're 11 points clear now as well. I mean, 11 points is a good lead. It's a big lead. Obviously, Hamilton have that game in hand against us. But it's hard to see us dropping points at this point. But, Pamela, you've seen it longer than we have. it's Falkirk.
It is. And he says it every week at the end of the podcast, expect the unexpected. So we just follow the party line, one game at a time, and just keep plodding.
Exactly, exactly. So fingers crossed. I mean... That was a big moment, I think, last night, though, because when you saw the form that Cove were on, obviously the goals that Burrell was scoring, like I said before, it could have been that way where it was just like, it's on the cards for us to get it beat. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. But I just go, oh, but Edinburgh are really terrible at the moment and, you know, they're due our win. And I just keep going round my head because that's what we do as Falkirk supporters because we've been here so many times.
That's right. But,
I guess until it's mathematically possible, we'll just keep saying that because it's fingers crossed because that was a big moment last night, I think. And you know, 25 games unbeaten, let's make it 26 come Edinburgh. So John McGlynn there, let's see what the rest of you guys were saying about the game last night. Alex says absolutely steamrolled them, controlled from start to finish. Romarin, who he says, the juggernaut keeps on going. Also, what does it take to get Mr. Consistency, a man of the match? Liam McCann, an unsung hero. I think, as I said, both him and Finn are, you know, they're so consistent, absolutely consistent, as is most, you know, that whole defence, I think, actually. And, you know, Cole, who was a bit up and down last season, but I think with big, sexy Tam Lang and beside him, always good in the world there. So, thanks for that, Alex. Brian says, outstanding, a fantastic performance. The energy and commitment in the team is incredible. As we all know, Hartley was complicit in setting our club back 5 to 7 years. So that was as sweet as victory as can be. Come on, you Bairns. Elsa, what to start with? Brilliant from first kick to last kick. Was a bit worried that we didn't score more in the first half, but second half was clinical and could have been more. Ultras carried the energy in the stadium all night long and over 4,400 there tonight. What a club. I mean, we didn't talk about that, but that was a brilliant attendance for, you know, a really cold Tuesday night as well. And Ultras kept it going. Paul McTavish says, as sexy as a Tuesday night gets, back in the Bairns to a dominant win and a uniting hatred for the fat, greasy bastard. Come on. I'm the one that's meant to be swearing on this podcast, but I keep getting told off for swearing as well. Right, Westy says, honestly cannot begin to express how much I love this team. The togetherness, the fight, the determination in one game is brilliant to watch. Cove are meant to be one of the better teams and we absolutely ragdolled them. Get it? Oh, I don't know what this says. G-I-R-F-U-Y Hartley. I don't know if anyone knows what that acronym is.
Yeah, right, fucking up game of the season, isn't it?
I would say you said that, Andy, not me, you know what I mean? Right, Scott says, another awesome performance. The Ultras continue to make more atmosphere every week. Sitting in the main stand feels like it's getting louder and louder every week. I feel like we might have just won the league tonight. Oh, Scott's saying it. I'm not saying it, but Scott's saying
it. I'll not be saying it until the trophy's in.
No, mate, I'm with you guys on it. I'm definitely saying Ali Nesbitt better watch that Niang doesn't try and follow him home. Burrell bullied all over the shop. Hartley embarrassed. Get in. That Niang was on Aidan Nesbitt. I actually think that helped us. I mean, they came with the game plan. I believe they usually start with, you know, they'll usually have a three, but they went with the one Burrell up on his own. And they thought, well, they take Nesbitt. But I think actually by doing that, they opened up a lot of more space in midfield. I thought Hendo then kind of filled in that role.
Also, wasn't Fraser five either.
He's injured just now because Meganson as well wasn't on the bench either. Right. You know, and they were two big players for them, and I was glad they weren't playing last night. But that was by putting the man mark in this, but I think definitely freed up space and a bit more for big Liam. Dave says impressive, still like Saturday, creating plenty and need to be more clinical. That's been picky though. After scoring four, goals from elsewhere, great, but a goal scoring number nine would be great. Onwards, Dave is nitpicking everywhere, but I see what he means, a goal scoring number. Seen that, a goal scoring number nine, is that McKeever nine league goals for the season now? Possibly. Yeah, he's got a good few. I think that's Morris now on 11 goals for the season. Who needs centre forwards when you've got centre half strolling forward and pinging them in from 25 yards anyway? You know what I mean? Willie Henderson, Liam's dad. Good to hear from you, Willie. Big man must have been buzzing last night. But so is Willie. He says absolutely buzzing. That's me just home. The team were amazing again tonight. Dare I say, becking relentless, and see Willie's curbed his language there like I should do. But yeah, big Willie, I'd love it. Willie, drop us a DM and just say if Liam wanted to get up, Hartley, please let us know about that. Right, okay. And finally, our man in Texas, Jamie Douglas, says, we said at the start of the season it would be happily win the league with a bit of shithousery. Well, fuck that. This is well worth waiting for. We're winning this league with style, that much style. It's like hot, sexual, gooey, sexual chocolate. I think Jamie might have had a couple of whiskies before he wrote this, because I'm trying to work out the time difference in Texas when he watched it. And just to make life so much better, Paul Hartley's away up the road, even greasier, because he was just cummed on by every Falkirk bear in the park that night. I apologise, Pamela, for Jamie's language, by the way. Terrible. And then he finished up by saying, fucking get it right in. Come on, ye fucking bairns. So I'd just like to add at this point, that was the language of Jamie Douglas in Texas. If you want to lodge a complaint, Jamie's your man. But it was a great response last night, and like I say, it's just brilliant being a Falkirk supporter. I don't know how many, everyone's like, because it is that way, your mates, like mates that don't support Falkirk, and I don't know if you guys find this as well, like your mates that support other teams and go, oh, what season you boys are having at the moment, you know, and you're like, yeah, it's great.
Fantastic.
I get that. You go into work and it's all the Old Firm and everything, or the Glasgow Derby, depending on your persuasion.
Saying,
like, you're flying the new air, and I'm like, that's brilliant.
That's great. You walk in with that pomp to work because you know that like the rest of your Old Firm supporting pals and colleagues, and you walk in going, aye, we're doing all right. So it's been brilliant. Been absolutely brilliant. Right, okay, Ross isn't here, so you guys are going to have to help me decide this. Falkirk Daft rated player. Now, we're going to take this for the Queen of, overall for the week. So that's Queen of the South and for Cove Rangers. Who is getting it?
Hendo.
Aye. If it's true, and just dad on.
If it's both games,
and if it is Hartley that can kind of let him go on Christmas Eve, that's how I can get it on you. So, Henderson.
Right, okay. I'll give you another couple of names. Nesbitt obviously got man of the match and it was all the part. He could be a contender. Callum Morrison obviously got two goals. I think he was a bit quieter against Queen of the South. Calvin Miller was okay. Both really good in both games. Tam Lang. Yes. You can just say that every week.
Aidan Nesbitt's a different beast this year, really, because last season, you could see him putting, there's no question about his work ethic or how much it runs mm-hmm. about place, but it was kind of impotent last year. It was just running, but no end result.
Yeah.
And this year, you're getting the end result with it as well.
I'd say, obviously, at the start of when we started this podcast about the chicken or fish thing, and you know, like the decision making. I just think both Callum and Aidan, in terms of decision making, have improved vastly. you know, in that. So yeah, absolutely. Right. Okay. Do you know what? Willie Henderson, his dad, listens to the podcast, so we're going to have to give it to Big Pilo himself. Yes. I think he's well deserved of it. Big Hendo is this week's Falkirk Daft Rated, just for that slide tackle goal. What a boy! What a boy! Absolutely.
Special mention to Dave Mack, though.
Dave Mack
at the end of the match.
Ah, yeah, by the way, I love that wee bit of shithousery from Dave Mack at the end. I always appreciate something like that. So cheer up, Paul Hartley, is what we're saying. So well done, Dave Mack. Great, brilliant stuff. Right, so that's our Falkirk Daft Rated. Falkirk Dafty, I've got a nomination, but
have you got any rat in it?
Well, he's came down the road, he's said his plan was to frustrate us, frustrate the team, and have the fans turning on them, which shows you how little he knows about what's happening here, or mm-hmm. how connected he is to the real world, so Greasy Rat gets it.
There you go, Paul Hartley is getting it. I'm going back to the rant I had at the start of the show. Falkirk Council are getting it for me for this footpath situation happening outside the stadium. It is a health and safety disaster waiting to happen. Mark my words, you'll be getting a strongly worded email from myself about this footpath situation. Someone is going to get run over there, and I'd just like to say, Falkirk Council is my Falkirk Dafty of the week, but we'll give it to Hartley anyway. Right, okay, so that's it. Brilliant. I think now, according to Joe Hind, who will have me for this, we're only now, there's only four teams in professional leagues across Europe still unbeaten. We're going to try and keep this updated. It is in Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and Turkey. So not losing is Aliaga. I think they may be Turkish, St. Pauli and Bayern Leverkusen, I think, and TNS, I think, but I don't, she tries to say they don't play in a professional league. I think they do play in a professional league, so we'll see, right? But apparently there's four still standing, so Joe said she could be wrong, though. We'll wait and see, but she's on top of that. Yeah, we'll just go with that. We'll just say it's four and we'll just keep going with that. So Edinburgh next, we'll preview that game in a minute. But I need to say thank you so much for both of you coming on. First, I love this. We should have more families on. I like this. I like this. Andy and Palmer, thank you for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. And if you want to be a guest pundit on the show with me and Ross, I'd love to have you on. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or drop us an email. You can do that, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Oh, when you look at that, Ross is back with us now to look back at the Edinburgh game. There we go. Just to let you in on it, it's a bit like Pulp Fiction. We've recorded it in different parts of the day today. So it's a bit like Pulp Fiction. So people or characters are coming in and out. You know, scenes are going out all over the place. You don't know what's going to happen. But Ross is here back to preview the Edinburgh game. Hi, Ross.
Hi. Good to be back.
Right. Edinburgh, Saturday. They are having a torrid season, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You don't see many more wins coming this season for them.
Oh,
you
can see that, 2 wins for the season, only 9 points registered. Like, I don't know the last time they actually picked up a point. Certainly in the last 5, they've lost all 5. Obviously, Andy McNeil gone, Ryan Shanley gone, Kian Offord back to St Mirren, now still in Albion, Lewis Spence, Innes Murray, Danny Handlin, Callum Crane, the women's and the development teams withdrawn from the leagues. There's real troubles over there, and certainly worries that they could fall before the end of the season, which wouldn't be good news for us. But as we spoke about in the last podcast, I don't think the SPFL will let that happen. Get to the end of the season, you know?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they've signed a couple of players on loan in the last week or so as well. So that's good news, because obviously
Rudy Adams coming in from Dundee United, Finlay Marshall from Aberdeen, and Frankie Dean, or I think on a free, got, and they got Malik Zaid from Hibs as well. Don't know anything about these players. Presumably they're all just young, because they're pretty much they're down to basically their under 20 squad, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we want them to get to the end of the season. They're probably going to, let's face it, they're probably going to be relegated for League One. What it looks like for them going forward, I'm not really sure. But in terms of this season, yeah, you do fear for them. They've lost an awful lot of goals since all these players have departed as well. I think they've lost 21, 22, 23 goals or something like that in five games. So it's a hell of a lot of goals to lose. Hamilton put five past them in the first half recently too, didn't they, a couple of weeks back? And if we're being really, really honest, it feels like that's kind of what may happen, hopefully, on Saturday.
Well, I'm hoping that one player that I think still is there, actually, is Robbie Mahon, who seems to be getting the goals. A young boy, 18-year-old from Motherwell, seven goals for the season for them. And he seems to still be there at the moment. And I think you've got him to the end of the season, unless Mother... Because I think a few of the clubs have maybe recalled the players as well that they had on loan. But I think he's still there. And big Uzi C, who you... If you're a Love Island watcher, you'll have seen him in Love Island. He can certainly score on Love Island. And he's got three goals for Edinburgh this season as well. So he'll be there as well. But, I mean, it is... Surprisingly, the head-to-head is, I don't know, we've won five and they've won two. I didn't realise it was as much as that.
They obviously beat us towards the end of last season, didn't they? At the stadium on a midweek game. I can't remember another defeat to them, but that's maybe just... I take it that's not been recent. That's maybe been an older game.
I think they beat us in the... According to this, they beat us in the League Cup. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, if I'm being honest. But,
maybe it's just been made up, but it's certainly when I looked up the stats, that was kind of head-to-head record. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make the game myself this weekend. I'm putting some credit in the bank and saving up for Bonnie Rig Ross. Do you know what I mean? You've got to play the game.
Bonnie Rig Ross,
I don't think I'm going to make it to him, but it's a horrible place to watch football.
It's not the best. But
it's a good wee day out. Don't get me
wrong. Edinburgh's a brilliant.
Can we do it?
Yeah, can't argue Edinburgh in terms of the away day, but in terms of the venue, and obviously as we found out to our cost last time, hopefully people leave the pub in good time and make kickoff, because the queue getting in last time in August or September, whatever it was brutal. So, and it is the type of place that unless you're actually at the front, you're not going to see that much either. So, just get in early, Bairns fans.
There is maybe a way around this for me, though. If I convince the wife to go and see my in-laws in Edinburgh, and then I'll go to the football and then pick her back up on the way, that might be an idea. I could just drive.
Could potentially work. There you go.
I will. That's a secret. If you see me at the game on Saturday, that's what's happening.
You know that's worked.
That's the plan, but keep that to yourselves, right? Right, so score prediction.
Any win will do, but I would absolutely love a few goals, John, and I think we've got it in us.
We certainly have.
I'm going to say 6-0 Falkirk.
I just think we've got too much experience against a really young side, and I think it'll probably be... I'll take a 3-0. I'll take 3-0 on the day, I think. It's a tough conditions to play in that Edinburgh pitch, and it's just a nightmare.
A win plus a draw between Aki's and Cove on Saturday would be the dream scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Right, that's it. Edinburgh on Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. You get us at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Buy merch, do that. Where you spend your Christmas money, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, as I said. Get us on YouTube as well. You can watch us, like and subscribe. Put that little bell icon on, as all the YouTubers saying. You'll get notifications of our new video. Like and subscribe, guys. So do that as well. And join in the Discord chat. All the details are below. Get all the chat on the Discord with all our Falkirk supporters in there. And you can get in touch with us, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. And thanks once again to Haldane Construction. It's all been said, Ross. Is there anything we'd like to add at this juncture?
Just as always, mate. Expect unexpected, buddy.
Absolutely. Let's go for 26.